care so much about, and it means a lot when you're here. Acts chapter 11. Acts chapter 11. I'm going to start reading at verse 19. I'm going to talk today about, are you a real Christian? Are you a real Christian? Verse 19, and when they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that rose about Stephen, traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord is with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of the things which came of the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas, and that he should go as far as Antioch. Who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. Then departed Barnabas unto Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that the whole year they assembled themselves to the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. And in those days came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be a great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea. Which also they did, and sent it unto the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. Are you a real Christian? Let's go ahead and pray and talk about this. Father, thank you for the wonderful Word of God, Father, the perfect book. Lord, it's one book I base everything in my life and my family, Lord, everything I do on, Lord. It's your Word, and it's so powerful. And Lord, in the world of chaos and confusion, a world of ideas of all different sorts and craziness like we just read, in a world of earthquakes and hurricanes and tornadoes and bad news and car wrecks, and in a world of family problems and financial problems and everything else, Lord, we have a solid rock, the Word of God, and we thank you for it. I pray tonight we'd do well to listen to it, and we would be careful to listen with ears to hear, and I pray your Spirit would speak to us in a powerful way, Lord. We thank you giving it to us. Help us to find out about being real Christians. I pray you'd guide the thoughts and words in a powerful way, and we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in this chapter, they're called Christians first. Here's the first time in the Bible we see the phrase Christian, and it's in verse 26 at the end of the verse. And the disciples were called Christians first at Antioch. Jerusalem was where the church was started. And at Pentecost, the church really got going there. And then as they went along, they would go. The churches spread. And Antioch was a little farther away from Israel and up north. But this church started getting going, and it was a church that just was a great church. It was the Apostle Paul's home church, where he got really discipled. He ended up going there and staying there for a year, and then he got sent out in the ministry. And this church, they were living in such a way, and there was something about these believers in the city of Antioch that the world decided to call them Christians, little Christs, almost as a mocking term, much of little Jesuses. Those Christians who follow saying Jesus the Christ. And the believers at Antioch and all the believers in the Bible, they said, we'll take that. I'd be glad to be called a little Jesus, a follower of Jesus. That's what I am. And so they took that name on them. There was something about the Antioch church, and we find this church throughout the book of Acts. It is kind of the hotbed of Christianity. They would send missions out of this church. The church did a great work and would help other churches and reach the world. It's an awesome church, and it was a tremendous, great church. And this church was such a great, godly church that it got the label of Christian. And I love that label of Christian. Christian is an honor to be called a Christian. I fear the name now has been used too often, though, for people who aren't Christians. We're Open Door Baptist Church, but above all, we're born-again, Bible-believing Christians. And we love to be called Christians. And we want to be called Christians, and we want to be what Christians really are. You've seen this this symbol before. This here, the fish, and looks like an IXOYE, and that symbol, and this symbol was used the fish in the New Testament times, and just after the time of Christ, the Christians took this symbol to them, and they would mark up other businesses sometimes. That what it means, well, the fish was used all over the Bible. They take those letters there, the ichthus, that's the actually Greek word for fish, and they take the letters, and what they would do is claim them, because there's persecution against Christianity, and they didn't want an obvious sign. At that time, the Romans were still crucifying people, and the cross was not, even though the Bible talks about the cross, and the preaching of the cross is, to them, is foolishness, but to us is the power of God. The cross was still a bloody thing. There were still people hanging on the cross. And so sometimes they would take the symbol of the fish and to say they were Christians, and sometimes in persecuted areas, they would use it to mark what kind of business it was. And many times they would meet somebody and they'd think they're a Christian, and what they would do is just in the dirt with their foot, this symbol's so easy, just draw the half of it. And they would just draw like this, around like that, and they would draw half of it to somebody, and if the other person they would know, they would draw the other half of it and make a fish, and they'd know they're Christians. But if you just ask if you're a Christian, or they knew you're a Christian, many times you'd get killed or beaten or put in jail. And the first letter in that is the iota in the Greek, and that's the first letter of the name of Jesus in the Greek, Jesus. And then the X is the chai, which is they take the first letter of that, the CH, for Christos, and that means Christ. And then the theta, which is the middle letter, is theo, which means gods. That's plural, theo or theos is god, and gods is theou. The y is upsilon, and that's the eos, and that's sun, and the sigma. They take the first letter of that and use the word soter, which is savior. And with those symbols there, which actually says fish, they take the first letters of that, and it says Jesus Christ, God's son and savior. And so they would just be saying that, though nobody else might know what it is. They would say, I believe that Jesus Christ is God's son and savior through that, through the symbol of fish, because the symbol of fish is very important in the Bible. I'll make you fishers of men, and loaves and fishes and many other things in the Bible. It's the disciples are fishermen and many things. There's a lot about fish in the Bible, and God prepared that. And they would like their identity of being a Christian. But you know, today, many people identify being a Christian in America, but there's no cost to it. And so many people, but can I tell you, if you have one of those fish on your car, does not mean you're a Christian. I remember I was working at a car dealership, and there was a guy who had a big old fish in the back of his car. And I went and witnessed. I was talking to him one day. I said, hey, I saw a fish in your car. I said, are you a Christian? He said, oh, yeah. I said, awesome. When did you become a Christian? He said, I've been a Christian my whole life. Nobody's a Christian their whole life. I said, do you know if you died today, you go to heaven? He said, well, I hope so. I'm trying to be a good person. And he said, you know, I've been going to this church lately, and it's really cool, and it's a Christian church, you know, and I've always been kind of believed in Jesus and stuff, so, you know, I'm a Christian now. I'm going to church. And he didn't know that's not what makes you a Christian, just going to church, just having a sticker on your car, just saying I'm a Christian. Or I was brought up in a Christian home, or my family is Christian, so I'm a Christian. That does not make you a Christian. Many people claim a Christian, but it doesn't cost anything. Many people say, well, listen, we're a Christian nation, and so I'm a Christian because I believe in the Christian stuff, and I believe in God. I'm a Christian. Being a Christian is much more than that, and I just want to talk to you today. Are you a Christian? Do you know what it really means to be a Christian? And just saying I'm a Christian or putting a fish in the back of your car does not make you a Christian. There's a couple things about being a Christian. How to be a Christian. Number one, accept Christ as your personal Savior. Accept Christ as your personal Savior. If you look at verse 21, it says, the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church which is at Jerusalem, and they sent forth Barnabas that he should go as far as Antioch. The Bible says in John chapter 3, verse 3, very, very, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Listen, You can grow up in a Christian home, and you can go to a Christian church and live in a Christian nation and have Christian parents, but you're never a Christian. See, being born again is you believing personally. Except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You've got to believe personally on Jesus as your Savior. Many people have said, well, I was brought up this way, and I learned about this. And you know what? I heard about this, and I learned about this, and I know a bunch of the Bible. None of that makes you a Christian. Well, I go to a Christian church. That doesn't make you a Christian any more than being in a garage makes you a car. Any more than being in McDonald's makes you a hamburger. That doesn't make you a Christian. Just because you go to a Christian church does not mean you're a Christian. You can be going to a Christian church and not be saved if you're not born again personally. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He that believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life. It's an individual thing. You don't get saved corporately. You don't get your sins forgiven by osmosis. You don't get to know God because somebody else in your family knows God. Boy, sometimes you go down south and they'll say, oh, my grandma and my grandpa and my dad was a preacher. And boy, we've been to church for the same church for all this time. I grew up in this church. I'm a Christian. And you say, wait a minute. When did you accept Christ personally? Is he your personal Savior? Or are you just going by what your family is? You have got to make a personal decision. Do you want to accept Jesus as your Savior or not? See, your sins you committed personally. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. God looks at individuals. And I committed my sin individually, and that sin individually has to be taken away, or I personally go to hell forever. But if I'll go to Jesus Christ and say, I know I've sinned, and I know you died for my sins, and I ask you to save me, I can become a Christian. I can be saved, have my sins forgiven. I can be born again and saved. And that's personal. You do not become a Christian just by being around Christians or claiming one. You can say you're Christian, but if you have never had a time when you are born again, you cannot become a Christian. If you don't personally accept Jesus Christ to save you from your sins, well, I've always been a Christian. I don't need that. Did you sin? The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Christianity is a personal religion, personal relationship with you and Jesus Christ. It is not a thing where you just as a group do something or vaguely believe something. It's your relationship with a personal God. He knows you. He formed you. He cares about you. The hairs of your head are numbered. He wants to see you saved. He wants to see your life transformed. He wants you personally close to him, and he wants to personally remove your sins. And if you haven't done it personally, though, your parents, sometimes you find a kid who'll say, my parents told me I asked Christ to save me. Do you remember it? I got baptized as a kid. Have you personally trusted Christ? None of that will save you. You've got to come to the point where you realize you're lost without Jesus. Your sins have separated you from God, and he died for you personally, and he loves you personally, and you want him to come into your heart and save you from your sins personally. That's the first step, is you personally trust Christ as your Savior. The second step is to be in a real Christian church. A real Christian church. Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord is with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came to the ears of the church, which is at Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave to the Lord. See, in this church, they are getting saved. In this church, they are believing. In this church, they're hearing preaching. In this church, they are getting a purpose of heart. Verse 24, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. And people were saved at the church. Then departed Barnabas and Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when they had found him, they brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass the whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. Well, you don't need to. You can worship God at home. No, they assembled together with the church. That's what they did in the Bible all the time. They got together and went to church. And the disciples are called Christians first at Antioch. First of all, just some questions about a church. And by the way, every church that calls itself a Christian church is not really a Christian church. I want to say this. Christian is more than just a belief system. Christian means you're like Jesus. There are saved people who are not Christians. You're a Christian because you're a little Christ. Many people say they believe in Jesus. Many people go to a Christian church, but there aren't a whole lot of people who look like Jesus. I'm not talking physical appearance. I'm talking your life makes people look and say, you are like a little Jesus. And if that's not the case, you're not a Christian. You might be saved. You might be going to heaven. You might ask Christ to be your Savior, and you might have your sins forgiven, but you might not be a Christian, a little Jesus. See, that's a great honor when somebody looks at you and says, you're a real Christian. I remember the first time I was called a Christian, I remember specifically my real close friend Jaime growing up. We hung around together all the time, did a lot of bad things together. Then I became a Christian. I got saved and started serving God, and I started changing my life. And I remember I was hanging out with him one day at his house, and boy, the word had gotten out that I was changing because I was kind of the terror. And I remember Jaime's mom, I don't remember what the conversation was about, he says, man, he's really becoming a real Christian now, isn't he? I thought, wow, they noticed. Man, I still don't think I'm very good. But you know, it was what an honor it was, somebody to say, he's really becoming a Christian. You know, it's a good thing when, notice the world called them Christians. It wasn't they said, you know what, we are little Jesuses. But when you live right enough, it gets noticed. You know what the scary thing is now? We deal with this, we've seen this so much, is when you really as a church and as an individual really live as a real Christian, you get separated from most people who call themselves Christians. Nowadays, our church is saying, you know, there's a lot of churches, but you know, at Open Door at this church, they're real Christians. Or that those people at that church, or that pastor, they're a real Christian. We've had, you know, it's come to the point where so many people claim to be Christians who aren't living it. And who play games and are like the world and aren't nice and aren't kind and aren't loving and don't have good families and don't do all the things that a Christian should do. It's gotten so bad now we almost have to separate from the ones who are called Christians and say, we're not like most of those people. Because there are so many people playing games and so many hypocrites in church. And you know what? We want people to look at us and we want to make the name Christian mean something again. Being a real Christian church. First of all, in a real Christian church, the question is the hand of the Lord working? Verse 21, and the hand of the Lord is with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord. Listen, before people are going to say, Jesus, that's a Christian church, they need to see God working, because everywhere Jesus went, God is working. Our lives being changed, our souls being saved, our sinners getting right with God, are people cleaning up their lives, are people loving each other? Is the Lord working there? Secondly, are people being saved? Are people being saved? We saw that in that verse. Three, is a man of God powerfully preaching the word of God? Verse 23, when he had seen the grace of God, was glad and exhorted them all, that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, for he was a good man and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people were added unto the Lord. And he preached, verse 26, and when he had found them, he brought them unto Antioch, and it came to pass, the whole year they assembled themselves together and taught much people. So it's preaching, and you see them exhorting and preaching and with fullness of heart to serve God. Listen, in churches, sometimes preaching is not done anymore. There's a lot of music. There's a lot of talk. There's a lot of activity, but not a lot of preaching. But in a good Christian church, you get fed the word of God. You get lots of Bible. Somebody stands up and sometimes they step on your toes. And sometimes they preach against your sins. I found out most people like when you preach on somebody else's sins. Get him, preacher. And you know what? But you know what? As a preacher, I don't mind preaching other people's sins, but sometimes I got to preach on mine. And I got some own issues, and all of a sudden I'm saying, you know, Lord, I got a better message than that. And I really don't. And you know what? You want to go to church where someone's going to preach and preach a truth and make it clear. Oh, you know what? It doesn't matter who the preacher is. It doesn't matter. It's just as long as the body's together. No, it makes a big difference what they preach. They got to preach good doctrine. It's got to go along the Bible. And by the way, I don't care how fun it is, how great a pews they have, how nice the building is. I don't care if they got the coffee shop in there. And I don't care if they got video games for the kids and all the gadgets and the preachers tell us great stories. It doesn't matter if all that stuff is there if they aren't preaching the Word of God. And somebody's got to get up and say, thus saith the Lord, and teach the Bible. And you find they continue steadfast in the apostles' doctrine. And they preach the Word of God in a good Christian church. There are churches out there where they believe right nowadays, but the messages are 10 or 15 minutes long. That's not enough preaching for you to get through in this world we live in today. We need so much the more as we see the day approaching. We need lots of preaching. If somebody's standing up there and saying, "Thus saith the Lord." I went to talk to a guy I knew, and he went to a Bible college. They made him go to liberal churches in town. And he said, "I had to go to liberal churches 2 different weeks in a row." And he says, "I could not believe what was happening there." He says one of them, the whole sermon is a book review. The other one read an article out of a pornographic magazine. He said, "I could not believe they called themselves churches." And yet the preacherette doesn't preach hard and preaches a sermonette to the Christianettes. And it's all a bunch of weak, powerless, not convicting, do what you want to do, everything you believe is right, whatever you feel in your heart. No, somebody's got to get up in a Christian church and say, "Hey, there's some wrong things going on here. There's some wrong things out there in the world. Some things you shouldn't do. Here's some things you should do. You need to love God with all your heart and put Him first in your life." There needs to be preaching of the Word of God. That's a Christian church. And that's what they had. And He told them, "You need to serve God and follow God and do what He wants you to do." Next, are they supporting believers around the world? Verse 29, "And then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent unto the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul." They went and they said, "You know what, there's believers who are hungry in different countries, and there's believers who need help," and they sent missionaries out, and they fed people, and they took care of other churches, and they didn't just sit there and build an empire in America. There's a lot of money in America, and if a church will not be concerned about foreign missions and about believers around the world and send money to people in Haiti and send money to people in poor countries and send money to people in Africa, if they won't do that, they can build some pretty fancy things and have some nice things, and a preacher can drive a real nice car in America. There's a lot of money here. But in the New Testament, they gave, and the churches gave. You know, and I hate to say this, but a lot of times the people are giving, but the churches aren't. And that's really sad. The people are giving sacrificially, but the churches aren't. We've heard stories since this economic downturn of people who have told me, "I gave that church, and I gave that church at how much money, and I went to them, and now I'm out of money, and I'm in trouble, and I went to them and asked for help, and they said they don't have anything. And I looked at the buildings he built, and I look at the car the preacher drives, and I look at the $600 suit, and I look around at all the fancy things we got going," and they say, "Did we just take in as a church?" See, church has got to give out. Jesus gave. For God so loved the world that He gave. And a Christian church is a giving church. I'm not talking about individuals. We talk too much. Churches talk too much about you giving to the church. The church needs to give out to the people. The church needs to give out to the world. The church needs to give out to missionaries. And that's Christians, because God is a giver. See, when you look at the church and you look at the Christians, you say, "Boy, they are a lot like Jesus." That's what Jesus would be like if He was a pastor. That's what Jesus would be like if He was in charge of a church today. That's what Jesus would be like if He sat in the chairs or pews of a church. That's what He would act like. Listen, I want you very carefully to protect the name of Jesus. It scares me when a Christian gets all loud, "I'm a Christian, I'm a believer in Jesus Christ," and just goes all and talks about Christianity a whole bunch. If you're going to talk, you better back it up, because they're going to watch you. And you know what? They won't want to go to church if you talk about being a Christian and you don't live it. They want something real. The world is starving for real Christians. They've seen enough of the hypocrites, the good Christians on Sunday. They've seen enough of the guy acting all spiritual on Sunday and mean to his family on Tuesday. They've seen enough of the Christians carrying their Bible on Sunday and watching garbage on TV on Friday. They've seen enough of the Christian who goes and talks about how much they love Jesus, and then they're at the bar with them. They don't want to see you at the bar. They might say that, but really they want to see something real. I'll never forget Brother Hiles talking about how he decided to go preach in a bar, and he went to a bar in downtown Hammond, which is very run down. He asked the bartender, he said, "I want to preach a message. Can I get up on this, what do you call the thing in a bar? The bar." He got up on top of the bar, table, whatever you call it. I don't know. Who knew that? But he got on top of that thing, and he started preaching. And one of the guys, all drunk, sitting there in the corner, said, "You guys listen to him. That's my preacher. Shh." Listen, you want to be and live in such a way where Christianity looks inviting and it looks powerful and it looks real and it looks like something people would love to have. I understand in a church like ours, we reach out so much and find so many hurting, lost people and so many people who are doing so many wrong things, and we go after them and we love sinners. We get some people who do some pretty bad things who come here on Sunday. But you know what? They're just starting out. You got a grace period, and then you better start living it if you're going to claim the name of Jesus Christ and if you're going to tell everybody to go to this church. Don't get arrested by the policeman and say, "Don't arrest me, I go to Open Door." No, when you get arrested, you go to Kingdom Hall, and you don't do that. And you want to live it, and you want to take the name of Jesus with you. I remember we had a lady years ago, and her name was Soon, and she was Korean. She hasn't been here for, I guess, 6 or 7 years. She moved away. But Soon is a Korean lady, and I mean, she didn't speak a lick of English. I came and greeted her, and I said, "Hi, I'm Pastor Byram." And she said, and she didn't know how to speak anything, and she was learning English a little bit at a time. And she came to our church probably 2 years. And by the time she left, she spoke very broken English. I mean, we're talking very, very, very little English. But she could say hi and how are you and Bible and real basic things. And we had one lady in our church who was pretty good at figuring out what people were saying. And I was always curious, why in the world did she come to our church? She came and came. Didn't speak any English. And finally, at the end, she understood enough English, and later at church, I said, because she could talk to her somewhat and just kind of figure it out. She was good at that. And I said, "Ask her why she's come to our church all this time." And she talked, and they talked, and she finally figured out. She said, "I come to this church because the people at church, it looks like they are happy to serve God. And when I read the Bible, it looks like a great thing to serve God. But all the churches that I go to that I understand in, he says, there's fights and criticisms and gossips, and it looks like they're miserable, and it doesn't look like serving God's a happy thing, but to read the Bible, it looks like a great thing to do. And I don't know what you're saying, but whatever it looks like, you guys are doing it right." I said, "That's good. I like that, because being a Christian is awesome. I am come that you might have life, you might have it more abundantly. I don't want you to come to church and be miserable. I don't want church to be a dreary thing you have to go to. I don't want you to think serving God's bad. Hey, yes, there's burdens. Yes, there's battles. Yes, the devil attacks you. But you know what? You're a Christian, and you got the fullness of joy in you we talked about last week. You got peace. You've got, and the Bible's got the answers to life, and we're not in darkness. It's a great life. Being a Christian should look really good to the world. And we ought to be go to a real Christian church where we have that." We said accept Christ your personal Savior to be a Christian. Being a real Christian church. Number three, think and act like Jesus. Think and act like Jesus. Let me just take you to Philippians. If you want to turn there, you can. But I'm going to read a Philippians toward the end of the Bible. Philippians. Think and act like Jesus Christ. Philippians chapter 2. That's what it means. A follower of Jesus Christ, or a little Christ. You've got to take, you know, the Bible says God has reconciled us to him and given us a ministry of reconciliation. The Bible says you are an ambassador for Christ, which means you go and represent him. You're taking his place in the world. People are going to find out about Jesus Christ through you. Somebody once said you're the only Bible that some people may ever read. The Bible calls you an epistle, which is a letter, like a book of the Bible, written and seen of all men. You are the representative of what God is. That's why sometimes we go to somebody and say, "Hey, we'd like to invite you to come to our church." "I don't believe in church. I know too many hypocrites who went to church." We hear that because some people weren't good ambassadors and they didn't like the nation because the ambassador. In Philippians 2, if we're taking Christ's place, it says verse 5, "Let this mind be in you, which is also in Christ Jesus." She's supposed to think the same way Jesus thought. "Who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God," Philippians 2, verse 7, "but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in the fashion of a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even unto the death of the cross." You know, when Jesus had a mindset where he said, "I'm going to be obedient, I'm going to serve people. I'm going to become a servant," and you are supposed to think like Jesus and plan on being a servant of people, a servant, and obedient. things said about Jesus, and you just as you read your Bible, what do you see when you read about Jesus in the Bible? What does he do? Well, the Bible says he went about doing good. He did so much good that if the good that he did were written, the whole world itself could not hold all the words. He went about doing good. Doing good comes in a lot of forms. Sometimes it's helping somebody broke down on the side of the road. Sometimes it's going around and it's feeding a hungry person. Sometimes it's helping some kid who needs some help, who needs somebody to love them. Sometimes it's buying something for the church. Sometimes it's going and praying for somebody who's hurting. Sometimes it's sending money. So there's a lot of ways, but just going around helping people all the time, helping people. There's a lot of people who need help, folks. Some it's financial, some it's emotional, some it's spiritual, some of it's their soul. Somebody just needs someone to say, I love you and care about you. There's a lot of help to do out there. We're in a famine of emotions and a famine of love and a famine of everything. It's worse than the financial famine. People are starving for love and kindness and help, and we got to show that. We got to do what Jesus did. We got to serve people. What do you see Jesus doing? Going around helping people, loving people, finding the people that nobody else loves, finding the maniac at Gadara who's all alone and saying, let me fix you. Jesus went about doing good and helping people. See, being a Christian and just looking around and saying, isn't the world terrible? Well, that's helpful. How about doing something about it? How about going and helping those hurting people? How about going feeding those hungry people? How about going and taking that kid and explaining to him why he matters and why his life matters and why he shouldn't ruin his life? Instead of just sitting there and talking about the problems of the world, which is what most people do. Oh, isn't it terrible? It's the devil's world. It's wicked. Man, the devil's got his hold in this. Why don't you go try to make a difference? Jesus made a difference. He went about doing good. Not talking about good. He went about doing good. Go out and be a Christian by acting like Jesus. Serve people. Serving people. That's what it said. He took upon him the form of a servant. Who do you serve? Who do you serve? Yes, we say we serve God. Who on earth are you serving? Who are you serving on earth? Are you serving somebody? Are you serving your family? Or are you wanting your family to do stuff for you? I'm on the recliner. I ain't getting up. Are you serving your children by being the right kind of parent? Are you serving your parents' children? Are you serving the church? Are you serving your neighborhood? Are you serving your pastor? Are you serving the ministry? Are you serving the missionaries? Are you a servant? Who do you really serve? Everybody wants somebody to take care of them. It's time for us to rub somebody else's feet instead of always wanting them to rub our feet. Ministry work. We're all called in ministry. Think and act like Jesus. Be a servant. Be obedient. You should show what Jesus is like. He's very distinct. If you are like Jesus, you stand out in the world. The Bible says a city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. If you act like Jesus, it will stand out. It will stand out. Show what Jesus is like. He's very distinct. Bible says this, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed. Instead of acting like the world and listening to the music of the world and talking like the world and doing all the things the world does, people will look at you and say, you are transformed from the world. You aren't like us. You don't tell the jokes we tell. You don't dress like we dress. You don't listen to what we listen to. You don't watch the things we watch. You are different. Be transformed from the world. Listen, in this filthy world, if you're a real Christian, you'll stand out. It's in a lot of ways. I think it goes in so many different ways. I think it comes the way you talk. I think it's the way your family is. I think that when you go somewhere, people have to look at your family and say, that's a good family. I think it's the way a woman dresses. I think it's important. The Bible talks a lot about that, a woman dressing modestly. If you're getting the way you dress from Hollywood and the way and the way society tells you to dress, ladies, you're missing the boat. This world's not modest right now. 50 years ago, it was. And you could dress like the world 50 years ago, and the 50s, you're okay. Everybody's dressing like that. And who cares? I think come down to your speech. I think come down to the way you drive. Man, one of the hardest things in the world is to drive a van that says Open Door Baptist Church on it. I can't threaten anybody, run any red lights, can't do anything. It's terrible. I mean, I do it all the time. You know what? I mean, literally a testimony. How do you act? I remember I was driving on the road one time, and I was merging. You know how some people have to merge off while you're merging on, those terrible things? I was doing that one day, and the car was going beside me and honking at me. And I'm like, you know, going in front and going back, but, you know, I'm like, ugh. You know, and they're honking and honking and honking, and right beside me, I'm getting all mad. Finally, look at them going, somebody from church. They're waving at their pastor. How you doing? Good to see you. And I said, oh boy, I wasn't going to do anything real bad, but I was like, what are you doing? Right, men? We drive like Christians. We don't get mad. We don't speak in tongues. Don't gesture to people. Okay? We are Christians. Listen, we need to stand out. We need to stand out. There's a lot of ways in our life where we look just like the world. We talk, tell jokes like them. Listen, can they tell our music from their music? Can they tell the way we talk to each other from the way they talk to each other? Idiot! He that hates his brother is a murderer. We've got to look different. Be transformed from the world. Colossians, our memory verse. We didn't even read our memory verse today. We'll have to do that. Colossians chapter 3. That's what all of you memorized it, and I forgot to ask, huh? Colossians chapter 3. It says, verse 8, but now also put off all these anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communications out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man and his deeds, and have put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. Put off the old man, put on the new man. That's Jesus Christ. Bible says in Romans, go back to Romans chapter 8. We're supposed to be different. Let them see we are different. The salt hath lost its savor. Where shall it be salted? You don't light a candle and put it under a bushel. We are supposed to be different as Christians. It comes in many different areas. In attitudes, in joy, and peace, it stands out. They're all getting ruffled and we're fine. You know how often we get ruffled little things when people should say, you know what, they're different. I mean, checkout line. When you get mad because the person in front of you wants a price check. That's every time I go to the store. I mean, the DMV, that'll make you lose your Christianity. I mean, when we go places, do we gripe like everybody else? The airport, everybody gripes. Everybody gripes about it. Are we content? I have learned whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. You know how much you'll stand out if you're a content person? I'm happy with my job. What? We all hate our job. Everybody gripes. Be content. You will stand out with peace. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. He might be the firstborn among many brethren. It says you're not supposed to be conformed like a glove wrapping around a hand. You're not supposed to be conformed to the world, but transformed. But you know who you're supposed to be conformed to? The image of Jesus. You are just like Jesus. You remind me of Jesus. You act like Jesus. You are an image of Jesus. Are you like Jesus at home? Are you like Jesus at church? Are you like Jesus at work? Are you like Jesus? Are you conformed to the image of Jesus Christ? That's what a Christian is, a little Christ. Last of all, if you want to be a Christian, you need to be a Christian by suffering like Jesus. First Peter, and chapter 4. You should suffer like Jesus. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad with exceeding joy. If you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit and glory of God rest upon you. On their part, he is evil spoken of, but on your part, he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's affairs. Oh, you know, it drives me crazy. Somebody gets in trouble legally and they're on TV, and they get up there and they say, I want you know what? God's going to get me out of this. I'm just believing on Jesus. No! Shh. Don't ever, as a Christian, be in trouble with as a murderer, a thief, or a liar, or anything like that. Don't. If you're suffering for that stuff, I love this. Somebody goes out and they drive drunk and kill somebody. Somebody goes out and steals something at the store, and then they come and say, "Pastor, why has God put me through this trial?" That wasn't God. You put yourself through that trial. Quit blaming God. You'll be lucky if he's merciful to you and helps you out in it. He might, because he's merciful. You don't deserve it. I don't understand. God's just not being fair with me. I thought I was going to get out in 6 months, and I'm going to spend a year. I've been serving God with all my heart. Boy, I hate to see a bad Christian. It gets so old, people suffering for their own deeds and claiming it's because they're a Christian. There's a big difference there. Most of the time when I suffer, it's because of me. Sometimes I suffer because God's let me go through a trial. That's true. But you know what? Sometimes it's me. Sometimes it's you. Let none of you suffer as a murderer or a thief or an evildoer, as a busybody in other man's matters. They won't talk to me anymore. Well, it's because you're a gossip. Yet, verse 16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. But let him glorify God on this behalf. You know what? Sometimes you just are serving God and you're doing right and they don't like you because you're a Christian. And you know what? The Bible says when that happens, glorify God because of it. You'll even have family members who criticize you and tear you down because you're a Christian if you really live it. The devil hates you and he will tear you down through people. It happened to Jesus. It happened to all the apostles. Sometimes when you really live it, you really get persecuted, even in America. No, they might not crucify you. No, they might not put you in jail, but they will not like you and talk about you behind your back and criticize you and ostracize you sometimes because you're a real Christian. And you know what? The Bible says if you suffer like that, let them glorify God. Lord, thank you. I got to suffer for your cause. Suffer like a Christian. If you live this right, let me take you back to Acts, but chapter 26, Christianity looks so good. That is very convincing. See, very simply, folks, Christianity is a truth. New Testament, Bible, Christianity, what the Word of God talks about, just good old-fashioned, simple Christianity, is the truth of eternity. It's the way to heaven. It's the way to peace. It's the way to joy. It is right. It is works. It changes your life. It gives you a good family. It takes care of your finances. It does everything. Christianity works because it's God's Word and it's God's way, and the Lord is right. Okay? We've got to show that. And when it is lived right, real Christianity is lived right, it is very desirable and people want it. When it's not lived right, it gives a reason for people not to accept it. You've heard the bunch of hypocrites, "I'm not going to church." You've heard it. So have I, a million times. Paul is witnessing in Acts chapter 26 to a leader, to a King Agrippa. And he's telling about his salvation in verse 14 through 18. He's talking about how God called him and how he was saved. He's excited to be saved. Are you excited to be saved today? Are you excited your sins are gone and you got a home in heaven? Are you excited someday you'll get a new body after football yesterday? I'm more excited. Are you excited that you are going to have eternity with God? He was excited. And he preaches to this guy and he says, "You know what? I'm not crazy," verse 25. He said, "I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and soberness. The king knoweth of these things before whom I speak freely, and I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in the corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest." And Agrippa said unto Paul, "Almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Boy, here's this God who was very this man who was very proud, didn't follow God, was a leader and was a man who had all this authority, and he says, "Boy, Paul, I never thought I'd want to take this Christian thing, but you know what? You've almost got me persuaded." You know what? Truly lived Christianity is very persuasive. Why? You have joy, you have peace, you have a good home, you have love, you're kind, your life's together. You do the things God wants you to do. You act right. You act like Jesus. And you know what? Everybody, whether they know it or not, wants Jesus. He puts a longing for him in their heart. And when they see a real Christian, they say, "I want what you have." And I just want to ask you today, are you a real Christian? Do people look at you and think of Jesus? Christianity is so persuasive. The light on the hill is very beautiful. Are you a real Christian today? It starts with being saved. It starts with being in a real Christian church. It starts with thinking and acting like Jesus, and then suffering like Jesus. When you suffer, do you do it with grace? And do you suffer for the right things, not the wrong things? Let's pray together. Thank you, Lord, for being a Christian, Lord. What an honor it is to be named.